Welcome to the show that'll keep you from falling behind during the week. With your hostesses with no ghostesses, Jackie and Belinda here for the Friday Catch-Up on the Paraquest Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of Friday Catch-Up. Ah! Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. Isn't it exciting?
It is exciting.
Yay. And let's see how many people go in the chat room. What the F are they talking about?
Well, seriously, what rock have they been under? Because if they don't know by now what that song and what's going on you have in common, really.
Yeah. I'm kind of... Didn't she look good this morning?
She did. I'm so jealous. I was like, I look like crap when I walk out of the hospital.
Mind you, though, I don't think we had the team of stylists and makeup artists and all that happening when we left the hospital.
That is true. But, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it also had to do with they just had that glow that you get when you become new parents.
I know. It was so lovely.
Maybe we should actually mention who we're talking about.
Well, look, let's see how long we can go without saying their names.
There we go. That's a good one.
Okay. There we go. Let's see how many people get it in the chat room right now. I reckon they'll know. We've got a pretty smart audience.
If your mom's there, I bet she'll get it first.
Oh, I betcha. Although Sunny's pretty quick.
Yeah, but your mom does that weird thing of, ooh, I'm smartest. Okay, no, I'm not. But seriously, I was for a minute. And then she throws in something kind of silly and just balance it out.
Yeah, you know, we're all ups and downs and rounds and yay! So anyway, I'm not clucky. I must admit, I'm not clucky. I can do without being lucky to have my husband remember my shoes when I leave the hospital, let alone looking good. But, oh my God. Everybody has been waiting at the hospital for, like, what, 3 weeks? I think the Australian guy said he's been parked outside that hospital.
It's a really long time because they said her due date was, like, towards the beginning, and then it was, you know, okay, towards the middle. Well, now we're almost to the end of July, and finally.
So, yeah, it was very nice, and I'm going to bust the bubble here, and I'm going to go, how amazing was it to see Will drive in the car?
I know, right? Like, just modern day royalty.
I know. And I mean, I sound like a complete goose now, but if you look at some of the old footage that they've actually been dredging up about the British royal family, it is really, really bizarre. Diana started breaking a lot of rules when she had her two boys, and that started by, you know, perhaps not having a nanny around and, you know, doing a lot of the child rearing herself and, you know, holidaying with the children because that had never been done before. How weird must that have been to be, you know, a royal and, you know, possibly having Charles go, you can't take the children. That's just
well,
not done.
If you remember, back when they actually got married, they were actually talking about kissing on the balcony. That was something that you just didn't do as a royal. Mm-hmm. Diana was the first royal to kiss in public.
Yes.
And then Will followed in her footsteps. I was like, good for you.
Yay! And I was like, well, it was only really a peck. It wasn't technically a kiss, but...
Yeah, but whatever. Any form of public, like any public display of affection is a no-no.
Oh, yeah. And then they've pulled out old footage of, I think it was Queen Elizabeth, like the current queen, possibly having an outing or something with Charles, and the nanny held him the whole time. Mm-hmm. She didn't hold him. She sort of broke a few rules occasionally because she let the media photograph her pushing the pram, which I suppose you guys call it a stroller, but you know, they're two different things in Australia. A stroller is the one that bigger children go in, and the pram is the one that sort of infants and very young children go in.
Yeah, we pretty much call it the same thing, but I know what you're talking about, and I just assume that everyone else does too.
Yeah, just clarifying, just in case you didn't. And then, what was it? I just thought it was really cool, and everyone's been saying, I bet you Will's been practicing putting that thing in the car for yonks.
You probably.
Because I don't know about you, but I let my husband put ours into the car. And they
my
actually,
mother-in-law.
they actually suggest that you take it to an ambulance office and actually have them check the way you've put it in, because apparently they're big experts on how to put children's seats into cars. And I got down to the car and he hadn't taken it to the ambulance office. And let me tell you, I went, I'll sit in the back seat and hold the kid in, shall I? Because that's wrong. And he's like, what do you mean it's wrong? It's in there with the seatbelt. I'm like, oh my God.
Tight enough?
No.
Yeah.
This one was one of those ones where the sash belt in the middle was supposed to go up and over this bit and up and over that bit, but it wasn't supposed to actually go over the seat or over the capsule. And this was completely over the capsule, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, ours was easy. We just you put. It's like it came in two parts. There was a base for it,
mm-hmm.
and you just strap the base in.
Yeah. Strap the base in, and then you just have like the big capsule-y thing, and you can take that bit out altogether. So you don't necessarily have to pick the kid up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you just take it, run the seatbelt through the bottom of the base, and just make sure that it's strapped down tightly. But
and then it had
see,
like an
another...
extra. Then it had like an extra seatbelty bit that sort of clicked into the thing that went over the back of the seat and hooked into a thing on the back of the car boot or whatever it is, and.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, ours is too.
Yeah. Probably had run very similar, I would say. But, yeah, this
we
was...
We were told to go to the police department if we had questions. And I'm like, my mother-in-law did this once. She can show us.
Yeah. No, I let hubby do it, and I held that seat in, and when I got home, I rearranged things, and, yeah.
There you go. Let's see. What's another tradition? Oh. Most of the royal family has been homeschooled because Will and Kate weren't. The child will probably be going to school as well, which that's no pressure there.
No. You know, okay, we're going to talk about names for just a little bit so I can come back to this bit. Okay, some dimwit put a bet that they would call their child hashtag. It's going to be a king one day. King hashtag. Really? You wasted your £500 or whatever the flaming hecky bet. I'm thinking that one's not going to get through to the keeper.
Yeah, but that one might have been worth it.
What the heck was that dum-dum smoking? I'm sure marijuana's not legal in England. I'm not sure, but it probably isn't. So what the heck?
Oh, my God.
What else are they doing differently? Well, apparently Kate's only the second in the, you know, in the line of the thrones that has actually given birth in a hospital.
That was the one I was about to bring up.
Yeah, because Diana was the first. Yep.
They actually, like, you know, because of the fact that this is the, what is it, third in line for the throne?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a pretty big thing. And they were talking about, it was weird to see princesses give birth in hospitals. And I'm like, no.
Well, apparently, of course, yes.
Apparently, of course. I mean, you have to understand, everyone, for those of you that aren't quite so savvy on British history, Diana was pretty much the one that came in and broke the mold on a lot of rules, and she was very, very controversial, and the Queen did not approve.
No. I mean, we were all sitting here today going, well, considering he should have married Camilla in the first place, he's now got what he wanted, and he kind of went to dear old mum. So.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really, really strange that Camilla was out and about visiting and stuff like that. I would have thought, for the sake of Grandma's memory, I would have almost been hanging back and saying, you know, you do this one, Charles. That's all you.
Oh, that's another one. Usually they go and stay in a different palace. They are going to stay for a while with Kate's mother.
Yes.
That's another one they broke. One tradition that may remain the same is I've heard it told that it can take upwards of a week to name the royal baby. So,
well, technically they've broken the mold on that one too, because it used to have to go to, I think, almost like a tribunal type thing to decide what this royal was going to be called. And the government's just basically said, eh, call it what you want.
Pretty much. Just as long as it's not hashtag.
Yeah, because King hashtag ain't really going to cut it.
Let's see. Oh, there's another one. It's an older rule, and luckily it's been out for a while, I think before Princess Diana. A person from the government had to be present at a royal birth to secure the fact that this was an actual birth and not, you know, someone sneaking in a baby. Apparently that has happened, or supposedly this has happened before.
Apparently Will was at the birth.
Mm-hmm. That was another one that's very odd.
Mm.
Another one that they broke. Charles was in with Diana. So, again, another mold breaker.
Philip was playing squash when Charles was born.
But apparently that wasn't...
It wasn't the dumb thing back then.
Yeah, it was just, he was doing, from what I understand, he was doing it more out of anxiety as opposed to indifference.
Well, pacing in the hallway is still an option, dude. Just saying. But, you know, it's going to be cool. And I can just imagine Harry's there going, yeah, I don't have to deal with this crap.
Oh, the first interview when they first walked out of the hospital. Oh my God. Oh, that was so funny.
Yes.
Will was like, you know, I'll have to get on to him about his tardiness when he's older.
Uh-huh.
And,
he's got a better head of hair than me.
Yeah. And, there was another one he said of, he's got her something.
He's got her looks. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Which, not going to lie, that was totally my first thought, is please let the baby look like his mom. Please let the baby look like his
yeah.
mom. But I did get to see a little bit of a picture, because they were kind of keeping, which, understandable, they were keeping him really close, so you couldn't really get a really good picture. But from what I saw, the baby's adorable.
Well, it's a baby that's just been born. They all look like politicians, really. You know, grumpy
and,
pink
face
and wrinkles. And
yeah. They all look like aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one picture. It was like one of the first pictures taken when they walked out. And the baby's kind of got his hand up.
Uh-huh. As it's
and
like,
one
oh,
of the cats says, oh, he's already learned the wave.
Oh, I must admit, though, one of the things that really got me was how much flash photography was going on.
I mean, yeah.
I know the baby was asleep and everything, but there was a lot of noise and a lot of light and all that hullabaloo. You know, wow. Oh. So, yes, everybody else that got born that day got a commemorative penny.
Yay.
So everybody got a present.
Good for them.
So that's cool. I like the fact that Kate still had her baby belly.
She's so adorable. Oh, my God. I'm so jealous of that woman.
She's
I get it. She's got a whole bunch of, you know, people following around that are primping. And.
But, I mean, she could have whacked on a pair of Spanx, but she didn't.
She's gorgeous.
She just let herself be. And I love that. I love that about her. So, I suppose we can read that particular story. It's a bit light for those of you who don't really give two hoots.
Yeah, a little bit. But
just in case that's the last thing you ever want to hear about this baby, we have a how to block the royal baby news from your computer advice. And this is thanks to the Huffington Post, which is kind of weird. Blah, blah, blah. Facebook and Twitter. The geniuses behind Unbaby Me, the Chrome extension that hides your friends' infants from Facebook and Twitter, have another extension called Unwhatever Me that allows you to insert a series of keywords that you want it to block from Facebook, Twitter, and choose what you'd like to see instead. Fantastic! So you can go get kitty memes instead of royal baby.
Exactly.
Ah. Gmail has one. Getting annoying emails from friends who don't seem to understand that you couldn't care less about Kate and Will's offspring. You can filter those out too. Start by going to your inbox, then click the gear button on the top right. Well, this may have all changed because this was done before Google decided to mess with everything. From there, hit the settings, go to filters. Once you're in filters, create a new filter. Choose the words or phrase that you want to filter and enter them in has the words or subject fields or whatever. And then, of course, you would save. Blah, blah, blah. The British news site understands that it's been little baby obsessed. This is The Guardian I'm talking about. So it has an option for you to completely turn off royal baby news. On the top right corner of the home screen, The Guardian lets you click Republican to completely remove royal news from your homepage. Lovely of them to do that. I think that's pretty much everything. Yeah.
I think so.
So, just in case you never want to hear the words Will's Kate or baby whatever, crown or crown prince whatever, blah, blah. There you go. Public service announcement. But if you're really that scroogey, do get a life.
Speaking of.
Yes.
I think we should take this moment to talk about that one awful person.
Aww. Yeah, let's do that.
Yes. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, you will notice that I posted shortly after the baby was born, or better said, shortly after they left. Oh, I can't remember when I posted it.
When you heard about it.
Yeah, well, not so much. It was later on in the day of when I heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I said congratulations to Will and Kate, or the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, for, you know, the birth of their baby boy, blah, blah, blah. Just giving them congratulations. And a couple other people came along and said, woohoo, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, someone pops up and goes, two words, who cares?
We do. That's why we're putting it there. And if you don't, nick off, naughty.
Exactly. I'm thinking, who posts on something that... If I was saying, oh, I'm so tired of hearing about the royal baby, blah, 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 then, yeah, I could see then that warranting.
Then who you cares? Agree and you're like, yeah, who cares? But,
But I mean, going on something like that and saying, oh, who gives a flying flip? No. Then this person, like, you jumped in.
Yeah, and I said, no, every baby was celebrated that day in England. Every baby. Because they all got a present from the royal family.
Because her argument was, it's going to really suck if she happens to listen to the show.
But, tough shit. Truth's a bitch.
For a little while. But her reasoning was, which I can understand to a certain extent, you know, whenever a celebrity's baby is born, it kind of overshadows all. But in my mind, you know, every baby should be celebrated, but it's just impossible. And then, yeah, you jumped in and said, no, everyone was celebrated. The girl responds, pennies? Shit, give me dollars. They're not broke.
Actually, they kind of are.
Hello, have you looked at the global economy? Really?
They kind of are. And, I mean, how are they going to fund that? Putting a new tax on people? Yeah, because that's fair.
Yeah. No
if
kidding.
Pennies is all they can afford, pennies is all they can afford.
Now, the worst part is about all of this. You know, people are stupid. People are going to be stupid. People are going to be heartless. Whatever. Pardon me. The part that makes this even better is this girl runs like so many different Doctor Who pages.
And you and I are conversing before we did this, and we're going, how can you not like British culture and yet like Doctor Who?
I mean, Doctor Who is like the epitome of British culture.
It is British culture, yeah. You have the Queen and you have Doctor Who. That is British. That's what it is.
I mean, you want to look at all the icons. Doctor Who is up there. That was a British thing, and it revolutionized film industry hardcore, which we talked about last week.
Yes.
So, see, last week's show. But the thing is, you don't go onto a Doctor Who fan page and start dissing the royal family. I mean, that's like big no-no.
That's like walking into a bar which is generally frequented by black people in a KKK shirt.
Hey, where are the white women at? Sorry.
Pretty much. It's kind of the same thing.
But I can kind of remember what she posted. I can't remember verbatim because it was just like, it was one of those, oh my God, I can't unsee this. Could you be any more stupid? It was like, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is. A baby's born every 9 minutes. Why don't they make a big deal about those babies, huh? And then she starts going on about, you know, the royal family. They're all messed up anyway. And then said, why can't Queen Elizabeth's husband be the king? And why is it that Kate Middleton can't be a queen? And, like, just all sorts of ignorant crap. And finally, like, I was going to jump in and say something, but I decided I'm going to read the comments instead.
Yeah, see what everybody else had to say.
And there were a few people going, you know, I agree, blah, blah, blah. And then there was someone else that said, I happen to care because I happen to understand how the royal family works, and I happen to enjoy old traditions. Oh, and by the way, I'm an American.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah! And then proceeded to go through and describe, like, how the
line of
royal family
works.
And the lineage, that works, and said, obviously, wherever you are from, you are just too ignorant to understand.
Exactly.
Yeah! So, kudos to you, random person. I can't remember. I would totally mention you on air, but unfortunately, that post was deleted because I tried to find it so I could read it.
Oh, she got rid of her stupid.
I think she was actually temporarily blocked from that website for a while.
Whoops. It's a Doctor Who website. It's British. Richard, how stupid could you be?
Of course, this is the same girl who goes through and takes, like, picture, like, okay, at Comic-Con, which we'll talk about in just a little while.
Yes.
At Comic-Con, there were a couple pictures of Matt, Jenna, and Stephen Moffat. And she went through and cut out Jenna and Stephen Moffat because this is a Matt page. This is Matt Smith. We don't need a whole get-together picture.
Yeah, someone has issues.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I'm a fangirl. I adore Matt Smith.
She bees crazy.
But even I'm not that obsessive.
No. Okay, just as a comparison as to how much more this baby matters than, say, what was it?
Northwest?
Oh, my God. Anyway, okay, Kim Kardashian is famous because she has a reality show and because her dad got O.J. Simpson chucked in jail. That's what she's famous for.
Kanye West is famous for doing some kind of rapping stuff and then getting on stage and going, yo, I like your work, and I'm going to let you finish.
But dude, this Beyonce's award. Yeah. Okay, that couple. In relation to a family that has held the throne for probably a couple of centuries, and great-grandma of this baby has held the throne for 60 years. Yeah, I can see that they're exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah, because there's a massive difference between being in line for the British throne and being in line for the, porta potty.
Oscar, Grammy, whatever they do for reality TV.
Well, I'm sort of keeping toilet humor here. Throne, porta potty. Throne, porta potty.
Ha ha.
So, ugh.
I hate you.
Anyway, we're going to get on to a little bit of Doctor Who now, and we're going to stick with our British theme for the moment, and we're going to run back to babies in a little bit, but it's not going to be them.
Yes. So, for those of you nerd people out there, I almost said nerdist, and then I realized I hate that show. But for all you nerds and geeks and sci-fi and comic book, and it's the whole shebang, you are all aware that Comic-Con happened.
Yeah, I want to go one day.
I want to go to Comic-Con.
Maybe we need to get really famous and they'll invite us.
I know, right? No, I figured it out, though. We have our own tradition. Have you realized that?
Do we?
We do. Every single year that Comic-Con happens, you and I both go, I want to go to Comic-Con.
Oh, those people who got to go to Comic-Con suck.
I know, exactly. And that's what we do every year.
We'll get there one year. We might be 30. Well, you might be 30. I may be 40-something. maybe. But we'll get there.
Yes, one day. I will get there.
So anyway, I posted a clip to you because I didn't know whether you'd seen it already. And... Well, you can explain it.
Basically, Matt Smith has been in Doctor Who for 3 years. He's gone to Comic-Con for 3 years. But he's never been able to walk the floor because he's always been too busy doing panels and autographs and all that. So he's like, you know what? This is my last year as the Doctor, so this might be the last year that I get invited to Comic-Con. I'm going to walk the floor. But he didn't want to be recognized in the process of doing it. So he decides to wear a Bart Simpson mask and nothing. Like, well, I almost said nothing else, but that would have been way more noticeable.
Well, I think he deliberately wore a green shirt because that's generally what Bart wears, isn't it? Because I was thinking that shirt choice was a little bit interesting.
It's he usually wears a red shirt.
Oh.
Red shirt.
Goes to show you how much I watch The Simpsons.
You know, the worst part is I actually have to sit there and think about it because I've not watched The Simpsons in years. But anyway, so he proceeds to walk around and, you know, it's only like a few snippets of his day walking around. Mm-hmm. But he's like trying to talk to people and they're all like, nice, Yeah.
Well,
you, like, Matt? Yeah, I know.
No. You've got to put. He put on an American accent so people couldn't recognize his voice, and he went to the Doctor Who stands, and they wouldn't talk to him.
No one would talk to him, like at all. Like people would just stare at him, or the most they would say is,
"Thanks."
Like if he saw anything, like there was this one guy that had a Doctor Who or a TARDIS hat. And he said, "Oh, I like your hat." And this is before he switched over to American, which is funny because he's like, "I'm going to talk American at people." And
he did a good job. He did a bloody good job of that accent.
Yeah, if he was like in Chicago. Horrible American accent for being in California.
Well, they tried.
I guess the difference is I hear a lot more American accents than you do.
Well, depends on how much TV I've seen that week, but yeah.
But, he talks to people who specifically have Doctor Who-related stuff, and no one will talk back to him, or the most they'll say is, "Oh, it's Bart. There's a Bart here," and they'll give him weird looks, but no one would talk to him. He's like, "I'm trying to make friends."
Yeah, and as I put in my comment when I tagged you, it was like, "How much are these people going to kick themselves later when they see this?" Oh my god, they're creepy parts. Simpson was Matt Smith. Oh my god, I had a chance to molest Matt Smith and I didn't take it. Oh my god. Wow.
Oh my god, but let's see. Some of the other highlights of the Comic-Con weekend, which I've not been keeping up with it this year as much as I have in past years, but I know the man who played Loki showed up as a surprise guest during one of the panels in full Loki costume and started giving a spiel as if he was Loki. Like, all the microphones went dead, the lights went out, he started speaking, and he was like, "Where are your Avengers now?" But the part that was so cool was the fact that he stepped up, and everyone was cheering, and you could hear all these girls going, "Ah!" in the background. The man raises one finger, puts it to his lips, and within seconds, silence.
I love it when that happens.
And then people would kind of yell funny things at him. So it was actually, you could see him laughing and trying to stay in character, which kudos. He went on later to do his own panel. Well, not panel, it was like a Q&A type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently did what they call the Tom Raptor, where he pretended like he was a Velociraptor.
Okay.
And he quoted Shakespeare and just did all this other really cool stuff. He bit a Thor doll.
As you do.
Someone's got pent-up issues. And he hugs people, like, everywhere, because he's a big hugger. And I'm like, I want a hug. I want a hug.
The restraining orders have signatures, too.
Exactly. Let's see. From the Matt Smith side of things, trying to remember everything. Oh my god, my brain's so scattered.
He did a panel with the guy from Teen Wolf, Walking Dead, Grimm. What's the other dude?
Game of Thrones guy was there.
Game of Thrones, yeah. Although the Game of Thrones panel was a bit interesting because they had one of the characters that George R. R. Martin killed off run on stage and go, "I'm not dead, George," and run away. I'm like, that would have been so awesome. Also, they had the 20th anniversary X-Files panel. Can you believe it's been 20 years since the X-Files started?
Dude, I remember being 5 or 6 watching that. And, like, loving it. hardcore. And then, like, a few, like, about 2 years ago, BBC America decided to start showing reruns, and I was like, the crap does this have to do with BBC? There's, like, one British woman in it, and she speaks with an American accent. What are you doing?
Yeah, I was a good wife. I bought hubby the big X-Files book thing that had every single episode and extras on discs. And it cost me about $250. So they're not too bad considering they went for a really long time. So
yeah,
you know, not that bad, but. Yeah, so occasionally he'll pull it out. But the packaging was so stupid on that one because once you've taken the disc out, like, this is assuming you haven't scratched the crap out of it when you take it out the first time. You've then got to put it back in. And then to watch it again, you've got to take it back out again. And it's literally in book format, so you've got to turn the page. And there's, like, four discs on each side of each page. And it's all in cardboard. It's, like, not felted or anything like that. It's just cardboard. And it's like, this is stupid. So I got him to pull them all out as carefully as he could, and then I got him a travel pack, you know, like the big CD travel pack that we used to have, like, 10 years ago, that we don't need anymore because we have MP3s and iTunes and thingies and you thingies and... Yeah.
I was just thinking that. I thingies and you thingies, and then you said it, and I was like, we had a moment.
So, yeah, Gillian Anderson managed to stick her foot in it within about the first 5 minutes of that panel. It was hilarious.
Oh, God. Let's see. Matt was... confronted with a really, really upset fan. I think it was a little kid. And he finally realized, oh, God. And I didn't watch it because I was scared that Matt cries, and I can't handle it when Matt cries. So I made Jamie watch it.
As you do.
Just tell me what happened.
Yeah, tell me what happened.
Yes. Yes, that's right, everyone. I am more concerned about my own emotions than I am my girlfriend's. Yep.
Oh, God.
But anyway, apparently it was mock humor, but everyone's blowing it out of proportion. He said, someone asked him, why are you leaving? And he said, he tried to give reasons, and he kind of stopped, and he goes, I don't know. Oh, God, I've made a mistake, and puts his head in his hands. And it was mock humor, but everyone's like... Oh my God, maybe he'll come back.
No, the contract's already been signed. But on the panel with him, with like the Game of Thrones people and Walking Dead and all that type of stuff, they talked about how they wanted their characters to die. And he said, well, you know, mine kind of end up with me being a massive ball of light and then I wake up a woman. I think he'd do that, could be cool. That could be awesome. So
I don't know. I could see it going either way, but considering, I mean, we've talked about this before, considering Moffat's way of treating women, I think Stephen Moffat would just ruin it.
Yeah, possibly.
I think if we're going to have a female doctor, Stephen Moffat does not need to be there. Oh, that's one thing that did piss me off. Not related to what we're going to talk about, but Stephen Moffat got up there and they did a Doctor Who panel. Duh. And someone said, why isn't Captain Jack going to be in the show?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the 50th?
Yeah.
And Stephen Moffat says, how the hell do you know who's going to be in the 50th? I've been lying my ass off. So what happens? Everyone turns around and starts bashing John Barrowman on Twitter.
What?
Starts attacking him because he had come out
and said, I'm not going to be in it.
Exactly. And he was talking about how heartbroken he is and blah, blah, blah. So everyone's like, you lied to us. Stephen Moffat said so. Blah, blah, blah. And he finally had to come on today and said, look, guys, I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to be in the 50th. please stop accusing me of lying to you, because it really hurts anyway, and this is just rubbing it in.
Aww.
So I'm like, Martha, this is why you can't do that.
Yeah, just no news is better than bad news, and, you know, shutting up is a lot smarter sometimes.
I mean, I get it. He wants to keep secrets, and right now he's only halfway done with the script. But, you know, anything could change.
Well, I'm hoping now that, you know, fans have expressed to him directly that they want Captain Jack in that show. Maybe, maybe.
Who knows? But,
Although the more we tend to tell him what we want, the more he goes, I want to do what I want to do.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And he deleted his own Twitter, so now no one can tell him anything.
Well, they can tell him in other ways. Skywriting works.
Yeah. This might be the only way you can get it through his head, but I guess we can move on to the part that you and I were discussing earlier that really annoys the crap out of me.
Go for it.
So for those people that were lucky enough to go to Comic-Con and were lucky enough to get into the panel, they were able to see first glances of the 50th anniversary. And I made a mistake just a few minutes ago. He's not halfway done with the 50th. He's halfway done with the Christmas episode.
Okay.
So, my bad. No flamers. But anyway, the BBC promised that after this premiered at Comic-Con, that it would be exclusive to the UK, and then it would be available online. Funny thing, the BBC lied. Imagine that. I know it is so hard to believe. But they lied. And apparently this was only for Comic-Con people. Now, I'm not mad about the fact that I don't get to see it. It's disappointing. But I'm not mad about that. What I'm mad about is, why didn't the people in the UK get to see it first?
Since it is, you know, British Broadcasting Corporation, or whatever the hell BBC stands for.
British Broadcasting Cunt Papers, I think. But
bleep!
I earned a bleep, yay.
God, so, yeah. But for being an Australian, and we're usually the last people to hear about stuff, the last people to see stuff, and, you know, up until recently, we were getting our movies anywhere up to 6 months after the rest of the world. So, mm-hmm. In a way, it's like, well, now you know how we freaking feel. And in another way, it's like, well, yeah, I can understand that, because that's dirty. You know, that should have been a British con first, before it was ever a U.S. con.
Exactly. I mean, they've had how many? I mean, just within the past two shows where we had Allie, there's been, what, like two or three different conventions where they could have done this?
Yeah.
And instead, they chose to feed the American audience first. I'm thinking, dude, if you really, really want this to keep going for another however many years you want this to keep going,
don't do that.
Cater to the American audience.
There are too many stupid people in America. They don't get it. They see the fez and they see the bow tie and they're like, oh, that's cool. Let's watch that. You know, they're not invested in it.
They're really not. And the thing is, like, they've been doing special after special after special of the best of Doctor Who. And because Matt is the most popular, well, most famous, because he's the one that helped really kickstart it off in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the best of Matt Smith. I'm thinking, no, if you're going to call it the best of Doctor Who, you need to go back to 1963 and start there.
Yep.
You cannot celebrate 50 years worth of something with only the past 8 years of something.
Yeah. And it also comes down to, just because you can't see the strings anymore on the walls and no longer made of butcher's paper, doesn't mean that show wasn't groundbreaking.
Exactly.
Meh. Anyway, we have two stories to get read, and we have about 15 minutes. So which one did you want to take?
Let's see. Oh, this is hard. I think I'll take the 14-year-old.
Do you want to do first or second?
14-year-old for 500, Alex. Sorry. I'll go first. Because okay. You already read one, technically.
Yep.
I'm the 14-year-old who wrote the "Jesus isn't a dick, so keep him out of my vagina" sign in Texas and was labeled a whore by strangers online. My dad came to my defense online, but for the first time, I am outing myself publicly. I'm 14. Please stop calling me a whore.
I'm a
14-year-old girl who has lived in Austin, Texas my whole life. I like art, music, and talking on the phone with my friends. When I grow up, I'd like to become a science teacher. I also believe in the right to choose and the separation of church and state. Or to put it another way, to put it the way I wrote it when I was protesting at the Capitol last week. Jesus isn't a dick, so keep him out of my vagina. Yes, that's my sign. I came up with it last week when my friend and I were trying to think of ideas of what would get people's attention to protest the scary restrictions that are happening in my state, trying to take away a woman's rights to safe and accessible abortions. It worked. When my friend and I took turns holding the signs, one of the pictures of her went viral. Then my dad went online to defend the sign on Twitter and other online forums. That's when people started calling me a whore. I'm going to be honest about what it feels like to be called, or to be called that as a 14-year-old girl who has never had sex and who doesn't plan on having sex anytime soon. Hang on. Sorry. I feel disappointed. It's hard for me to understand why adults would be calling me this. It's hard for me to understand why anyone would use this term for a 14-year-old. It's not anyone's business, but as I said, I am a virgin, and I don't plan to have sex until I'm an adult. But none of those facts makes me any less passionate about fighting for a woman's right to choose and the separation of church and state in my home state of Texas. I also don't think that this makes me, or any other 14-year-old girl who agrees with me, a whore. It simply makes us people. People who believe that abortion should be safe, legal, and accessible for women. People who believe women should be in control of their bodies and should not ever have to put their lives at risk so that we don't go backwards in women's rights in this country. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who has had a few abortions. She now says that abortion is bad and she fights against a woman's right to choose. This makes it all more important for me to protest, even if I am only 14. In fact, my dad woke me up so that I could watch the Wendy Davis filibuster the night that she tried to prevent this legislation from passing the first time. I remember thinking I was proud to be from Texas, watching her stand up for what is right. That is when I told my parents that I wanted to join in the protest. I have seen anti-abortion protesters at a clinic near our house, and it makes me upset to see women who are facing this hard decision being told that Jesus condemns them. I guess I don't think it seems very Christian to me. Then again, neither does calling a 14-year-old girl a whore.
Yeah.
Amen. The first day that we were out protesting at the Capitol, my friend and I took turns holding up the sign. And an older man came up to us yelling right in our faces, "You two should shave your heads. You should become lesbians. No man will ever want you. You're ugly."
Mature.
Yeah. The police had to ask him to stop yelling at us. It was scary, but more than scaring me, what it did was make me feel even more determined to stand up and protest even louder. I'm not going to let someone call me a whore, let someone calling me a whore stop me from fighting for what is right for all women. I'm not going to let the bullies win in the fight over women's bodies. You go, girl.
Good on her.
Let's see. I'll go ahead and read this part, too, because it's kind of like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I read some of the comments online that people said about me, and I was so proud of my dad for sticking up for me and for the sign I wrote. After a certain point, I really couldn't believe some of the comments people were writing. One person said that my parents should be arrested for child abuse. And in another unbelievable comment, someone suggested that my dad must invite all my friends over to play abortion clinic.
Right.
Yeah. I'm done feeling disappointed by these attacks. That is why I'm speaking out, even if I am only 14 years old. But the way things are playing out, if it, everything feels reversed. Adults are not acting like adults. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, it's hard to believe that this is a 14-year-old girl.
Well, she has a brain. A lot of 14-year-olds do. They just get told that they're stupid.
Or they fall into that whole Kim Kardashian and Snooki and Honey Boo Boo crap.
Ugh, God.
Normally, I prefer to look up to adults as role models. But what is happening in Texas right now, it's hard to find adults who I want to look up to. I don't look up to an adult who is taking away a woman's right to choose. I don't look up to an adult who is calling a 14-year-old girl a whore. I don't look up to an adult who is screaming in my face and saying I'm ugly. And I certainly don't look up to anyone who says they are Christian, but treats women the way that way I've been treated these past few days as a teenage girl.
Good on you, honey.
I think this deserves a standing ovation and applause and Yay! Everything we can pull out right now.
Good on her. And one of the other things that was happening in Texas at that time was if women actually wanted to go in and listen and they went through a security point, they had their tampons taken off them.
Oh, lovely.
So, tough toenails if you had, you know, that time of the month happening.
I would have bled all over the seat.
Well, you know, if they're going to take everything away, what other choice do you have?
I would have, like, if they took all my tampons away, I would have, and this is going to be really gross, and I'm sorry.
Removed
but I would
and
have
prone.
Peeped into my pants, pulled out the tampon, handed it to them, walked off, and proceeded to bleed all over everything that I sat on.
Uh-huh. Help. In a way, although then you're sort of hoping that one of the politicians had been made to clean it up.
Oh.
Because the poor cleaner's like going, why do they have to do it today? Why couldn't they just let them have the tampons? Oh my God.
Oh, I would love that.
So,
but cleaning is a woman's job.
Yay for teenage girls with a brain that aren't afraid to use
it. There is still hope for humanity yet. I was so worried about the future generation. But if we can find more girls like this, oh.
There is hope.
There's still life in this old woman yet.
Okay, so from old life to new life, mum's charged $5 for screaming during childbirth. Poor women have been exploited as their most vulnerable time by a hospital that charged them $5 every time they screamed during childbirth. The shocking discovery was made by a US group that campaigns against corruption as it released its annual Global Corruption Barometer. At the hospital in Zimbabwe, one of the poorest countries in the world, the fine was said to be raising a false alarm. Said to be for raising a false alarm, according to Transparency International. Women who were unable to pay the fine were allegedly kept in hospital until their families could pay. Interest was also added to the fine, according to the Washington Post. Many mothers already avoid hospital deliveries in the African nation because of the $50 cost, which is about the third of the average $150 income. Wow. I would assume that's yearly, maybe. I don't know. In a country where nearly 95% of the population is unemployed after years of economic turmoil and corruption under President Mugabe, and where 1 in 8 women die in childbirth every day, the fines could rob a woman of a year's salary. A survey of Zimbabweans found 65% can't believe the country's medical services to be corrupt. I'd love to hear Kate's opinion on this one. Because we haven't been given the gory details, but I'm imagining those conversations, you know, at the mummy group.
You know, I have to throw this out real quick, because one thing that they said in the interview was it was a very magical and beautiful moment. I'm thinking, was that before or after the, get this thing out of me?
That or they gave her the special fairy drugs.
And she's like, Will, I love you. Look, I'm having a contraction. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it's over. I mean, what kind of world do they live in if it's a magical thing? I mean, last I heard it was like, you know, trying to get a watermelon out of a drain. You know, a very, very small one. So,
yeah.
Ow. So,
or I think the best comparison I've heard ever is trying to squeeze a watermelon out of a lemon.
My brain hurts too much to try and imagine that.
So, okay. You were lucky because you didn't actually experience much pain.
Well, I went to 10 centimeters. Not that anybody needs to know anything, but it was getting to the point where they were actually asking me, are you positive you want a C-section? Because we're just about ready down this end if you are. So, you know, I did feel a bit of pain. It just wasn't to the extreme of having my insides become outsides, so to speak.
So, you probably wouldn't have had to pay any money.
No, I didn't scream. But then again, you had the epidural and it ran out and you went from nothing just about to everything.
Let's see. Okay. I feel so funny. It's so funny trying to talk about this now because I felt kind of cocky at first. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be so bad. You know, okay, yeah, it hurts. But on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 3. Not that big of a deal. I don't see why people make a big deal about this. And then they broke my water.
And then all bets were off and you would have been paying probably a couple of $100,000 worth, I'm guessing.
No, I actually didn't scream. I was really good, but it was just really funny. I had a nurse in there and she was like, so how's your pain? I was like, oh, it's all right. And I went from like, to, oh God. I reverted back to a 5-year-old going, Mommy! I didn't actually scream, but there was a lot of...
And this is radio, so you can all imagine that beautifully right now.
Yeah. Then I got the epidural, so I was like, oh,
then it ran out.
And then at the crucial moment, my legs are up in the stirrups, and I'm going, oh, I can feel my legs. This is bad. I can feel my legs. Oh, no, you can't. It's just the pressure. Yeah. And a tornado is just a small dust storm. This hurts.
So, yeah, going from eh to ah.
Yeah.
That's
fun. I think I probably would have owed probably about $15.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, I want to make one more announcement in the 2 minutes that we've got left.
Well, before you say that, for all the moms in the chat room, post how much you would have to pay if you had to pay $5 for every time you screamed. And for those of you that aren't moms, lucky. But
yeah, imagine. I'm guessing my mum's going to be in the thousands of dollars because I was a nightmare. Just saying. But... So, yeah, anyway, my announcement later on today, as in the day that we're broadcasting, I will actually be speaking at an inaugural writers' convention in Brisbane, and I'm nervous as anything about it. And yeah, so I'll be talking about that next week and let you know how it went. And yay me!
Yay!
I'm the third speaker.
Yay!
So yeah, there's lots of more experienced people going to be there apart from me. So I'll be sitting and listening and taking notes and all that. But it looks like probably 4 or 5 people from my writers group are actually going to turn up, and one of our founding members is going to be talking there as well. So I was like, yeah, we're awesome.
I wish that I could be there, but I'll be there with you in spirit.
You will be. And I don't think they've got internet connection out there. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I'm not dragging my laptop along, so I can't even include you that way. Damn.
Is there a way that you could record it so we could at least see it later?
Well, I've already recorded my speech because I needed to know how it sounded, so I could maybe sneak that in a little bit next week.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway, we have come to the end of our show, and I'm going to...
Oh, no.
We haven't even talked about books, so we'll have to do that next week. Anyway, we will see you all again next week. Thank you very much for hanging around with us for this hour and talking about babies and vaginas and Matt Smith.
Other gross things.
And
being in debt.
And yeah. Alrighty, bye everyone.
Bye.
And this has been the Friday Catch-Up, powered by the ParaQuest Radio Network. Remember to catch the Hostess with No Ghostess every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the ParaQuest Radio Network.